folks, and welcome to the bonus holiday edition of the B-roll that, as much as we didn't previously mention, let's be honest, everybody knew was probably coming. I'm, of course, Mike Montgomery, and going down the line, I am joined by Crash and Burn and Vita, and we are here to discuss some of our favorite Christmas properties, except unlike last year, this time we actually get to do it all together. Yeah. And the reason that I say Christmas properties and not Christmas movies is the simple fact that I generally don't like Christmas movies, so I had to go a little bit off the board for my pick.
If I know we were going to go for Christmas episodes, man, that might have been a different list.
Well, it's Christmas home movies. So if at some point in time you recorded something to rewatch the next year and it became a home movie, that counts.
But in the world of binging and on-stream watching and on-demand and stuff, we don't have to record anymore.
No, but you create completely different traditions based on what's available on the streaming network of your choice.
True.
And let's be honest, they're going to crank out stuff to be available like there is no goddamn tomorrow. And yes, Hallmark Channel, I am looking squarely at you. Even though, let's be honest, it's the same movie about 200 times.
Out the blonde, switch out the guy. It's the same movie.
Yeah.
They switch the blondes?
Well, sometimes they switch the blondes. Sometimes they just change your hairstyle.
Oh! Okay, that explains so much.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, that would do it. With that, and so that we're not listening to me talk for an extended period of time, who wants to start?
That's an excellent question.
Go ahead, Crash.
Who will set the bar? I shall set the bar. I shall set the bar with the single greatest holiday movie ever created. Not only a single greatest holiday movie, single greatest holiday special, and dare I say it, yes, I shall dare, the single greatest Muppet creation in all history. All of it. Everything else can go in the fucking trash bin. Muppet Family Christmas.
Thank God!
Pinnacle of Muppet Christmas movies and Christmas movies. Perfection was achieved on December 16th, 1987, with the broadcast of this half-hour special that has fucking everything. Miss Piggy vamping on the job. RCMP officers who she has wrangled into doing her bidding. An icy patch that nearly kills everyone. A smart-talking jive turkey that fucks with the Swedish chef. Jim Henson in the kitchen doing dishes. This is the single greatest thing ever. So for those who are uninitiated, it's a very simple story that is, quite frankly, so wonderfully detailed and like internally efficient that I don't think Muppets ever hit this level of storytelling perfection.
Frankly, no.
So the basic story is that Fozzie has invited all of the Muppets up to his mother's house for Christmas. His mother's going to Aruba, I believe, somewhere in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And has seemingly left the keys. Now, Fozzie hasn't actually checked with his mother if this is totally cool. And his mother has instead Airbnb'd out her house to Doc and Sprocket, the human and the human's dog from Fraggle Rock. And that's the other thing about this. This is perfection on a level not seen again until Infinity War and Endgame. This is the Endgame.
Yeah.
So Fozzie and the entire collection of weirdos as his dear mother, I believe Emily calls them the weirdos.
Be careful, Sprocket. These could be from some foreign planet.
Actually, they're from television. I recognize Fozzie's weirdo friends.
Yeah, we're proud of it, too.
Why am I here?
They all arrive en masse. And just as she is about to head out the door, and just after Doc and Sprocket get there, and you end up with this wonderful collection of comedic misunderstandings and getting in the ways of, in which Doc, Sprocket, and the entire Muppet crew try to find a way to have Christmas together. To complicate this, however, there is an ongoing threat throughout this entire thing of a blizzard. Now, this blizzard cancels the flight to Aruba. It cancels or it closes all the roads. So the Muppets that are now there are stuck there. There is no way for them to come out to just leave and get the hell out of Doc's and Sprocket's Christmas. So they're all stuck there together. What's more, other people are on their way because Fozzie is that kind of bitch, and they're going to get stuck there as well with no way out. And finally, you have Miss Piggy, who of course is the consummate professional, who is still doing her Christmas shopping, who is still doing a photo shoot, who is still trying to catch a plane as this blizzard is oncoming. And she's just like, no, I'm Miss Piggy. I am gorgeous and beautiful. Nature will wait her turn. What follows is, quite frankly, the greatest musical special in history, including not only classic hits of like Christmas, sung by, quite frankly, the best choir ever, the Muppets. These songs have never reached the potential that they had in this special again, but also includes Muppet-style classics. Like, of course, Pass It On by the Fraggles,
yep.
Which is, quite frankly, better than 90% of all Christmas carols, not only as a song itself, but for the message of Christmas.
What you give is what you gain when you pass it on. When I give a gift to you, I know you're gonna give it too. That's why giving is what we do as we pass it on.
A John Denver song, It's in Every One of Us, which was specially written for the Muppets. John Denver having, he wasn't dead yet, but he'll be dead soon at this point. And of course, the incredible Christmas medley that ends with the perfect Muppets Christmas song, Together Christmas / Old Friends, New Friends, in which Kermit and his nephew sing about how everyone they know is crammed together. So at this, by the end of the series, the show, it's the Muppets, the Fraggles, Sesame Street, Pigs in Space, everyone, the cops show up to this goddamn party. It is truly, truly the most perfect holiday special ever created. And that's why I hate everything else.
No, completely fair. That was actually one of the ones that I had brought up on last year's video, specifically because, well, A, while it's not available retail, it's everywhere on YouTube. Like, you could even get it in original television airing, commercials and everything. But it's...
Yes, no, I'm quite aware.
It's also, for someone like me, where Christmas spirit-wise, it's literally Christmas starts at, like, 9 a.m. on December 25th. And is done, and I am back and ready to resume my regular schedule by noon. So this is literally...
You don't even let yourself have the whole day? You only allow a few... Come on. The whole day.
Oh, it's literally by noon. We've done the presents. We've done the stockings. Done the visitation with family. Everything. This special is literally pure Christmas spirit distilled into just 30 minutes. It's everything. It's just perfection.
Yes.
Like, and also one minor note is that it's not a separate RCMP officer. It's actually Doc in an RCMP uniform that Miss Piggy has just showed up with because it's Miss Piggy. Fuck you. Who cares why?
Yeah, and she's forced him into this role, even though she actually kind of makes it clear that she was not at all in any kind of danger.
Yeah.
And had this entire thing set up. She, in the middle of a emergency level a blizzard, makes sure that she has an entrance. Not just like, oh, she shows up. No. An entrance.
It's Miss Piggy. She had to have an entrance. You can't put all of that personality in one little puppet. Muppet.
Can't put that much in one little piggy.
No, and also, just for good measure, we also in this special find out that Fozzie's worst nightmare has come true.
Yeah.
Because two of my favorite Muppets, Statler and Waldorf, are best friends with Fozzie's mother.
Oh, and it's delightful. The fear that a Muppet is capable of registering. The sheer
anxiety. Okay, I know I've watched this at some point in time in my life, at least once, but I don't remember any of this. I'm going to have to watch it again.
Ooh, you will have to watch it again, because it is well worth it. Hell, this thing is so epic. It even includes the Muppet Babies, but it's not the cartoon. It's the actual felt Muppet Babies that they made for Muppets Take Manhattan. And thankfully, in a brilliant twist of holy shit, I'm sick of the Muppet Babies, they don't let any of them talk. It's silent. And it's them commenting on the Muppet Babies.
Yeah, it's literally the Christmas tradition of sitting down and watching home movies. And they're watching the Muppet Babies on an old projector because, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why would they not?
Oh, my God. Everything about it. Everything. You know what I wanted more than anything else when I was a really little kid? The fucking rock that the Fraggles passed. It's just the spray-painted, like, ball. I want it.
As you said, literally at this point, it's you could just go out and just find a nice smooth rock, paint it orange.
Yep. Yes, I could.
Makes note on Christmas list of present for Crash. Okay.
One rock.
Oh, rock.
This, I don't understand why Muppet Family Christmas never got a release, I think, past VHS.
I believe it actually has to do with the songs that they used.
I've heard about that, but at the same time, where we already know that there's been a lost Muppet Christmas Carol number that was recently re-released. And especially now that they're with Disney, like, how is it that difficult to either cut one or two songs or just buy the rights for a release?
That's the thing. The complexities of Muppet law, and I'm not even joking right now, the complexities of Muppet law are really dense because some of the rights to the Muppets are publicly owned or publicly available. So aspects of Sesame Street can never be legally owned, which means that you can't exactly use certain things in legally owned properties such as this. So it becomes this like really bizarre mishmash of like, you can do this, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
So by having all of this together, they're essentially waiting for a lawsuit by themselves against themselves. Oh, yeah.
amazingly enough, that somehow explains it, if only because we all know about Disney and anything public domain.
Yeah. There you go.
I think, Crash, unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
I'm going to throw out something, won't spend as much time on it, but, I feel like it has to be said. So that's my favorite, Christmas content. My least favorite Christmas content is, Die Hard. I'm sick and tired of that take. Die Hard is a fantastic action movie. It is not a Christmas movie. Shut up.
There are many that would disagree with you.
And they're wrong. What it is a terrific movie taking place at Christmas. There is a difference between taking place at something and being like associated with the spirit of that. What that argument and belief that it is a Christmas movie is an attempt to actually undermine what a Christmas movie is supposed to be while still retaining some semblance of being a cool kind of audience member. I remember when that argument began on crack.com, which is where it came from. It came from an infographic where someone just pointed out, hey, technically it makes a Christmas movie. And that is the extent that it truly should have. Simply an oddity that takes place at Christmas. No one considers Iron Man 3 to be a Christmas movie, but it has just as much Christmas. It's not. It takes place during Christmas.
I'm not disputing whether or not Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie. I'm disputing that no one considers it a Christmas movie, because there are people who do, if only because there are those who basically consider any movie Shane Black has written to be a Christmas movie.
And listen, that is perfectly valid and fair, but they're not Christmas movies. They're movies that take place during Christmas. Home Alone is a Christmas movie because while it has all of those action elements, it also includes the importance of like reuniting with a family beyond simply, quite frankly, a bad divorce case. It's not a matter of a bad divorce case. It's a matter of love. I quite frankly never believe that John McClane loves his wife. I believe he doesn't like not possessing his wife.
I can see that. And with you bringing this up, I'm in a bit of an interesting place because I'm sitting here going, on the one hand, I am one of those people who considers Die Hard a Christmas movie. However, the argument itself has become such a meme that I can 1,000% see where you're coming from. And I completely agree with your point, because no matter my opinion about the movie itself, yeah, that argument is completely overdone.
Yeah, the joke's dead.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not only killed the joke itself, but it's killed any other appropriation of the joke, such as Iron Man 3 or Shane Black movies. They killed it. It's dead. Let it die. Let it remain so, and let's get back to more wonderful 80s content.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, no matter what my actual opinion is, it should have stopped when Bruce Willis himself came out and said, no, it's not a Christmas movie.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and I suspect that's possibly because he would just be like, no, I don't want to be in a Christmas movie. So it's the same attitude that is actually driving the need to identify it as your favorite Christmas movie.
Moving on, Vita, how about you? What do you have for us here?
Well, I took the time this morning to watch A Christmas Carol, the musical, with Kelsey Grammer and Jesse L. Martin and Jane Krakowski. I came across it, probably in 2004, maybe 2005. And I've, it, it, it's been my search ever since then. And I was like, do they have it? Is there a DVD? Because it was a made for TV movie. So yeah. I didn't have the chance to grab it on VHS because VHS wasn't around at that point in time. But I found out that YouTube has it in its entirety. So I sat down and I watched that today. Yay.
God bless the movies where studios don't care.
Yeah, really though. I mean, Kelsey Grammer is not the best choice for that, for Scrooge. He's not. He's really not the best choice. But I love Jesse L. Martin, and yeah. I love Jane Krakowski. And I mean, it's a musical. So, like, take everything that might be Rent and put it on stage kind of idea. And yes, I mean, we're Jesse L. Martins in both of them. Just, yay!
All the good in life, it's now too late to do.
Not to mention, this can really make you tired.
Yeah. And then that wrapped up soon enough that I was able to watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is the stop animation Bass Rankin with Fred Astaire that was my go-to jam growing up. I had to watch that every year. That and Snoopy.
Oh, of course.
Those are fair choices.
Say again? Yeah, and
those are fair choices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those growing up, those are the go-tos. Anything like the Grinch, Snoopy, Frosty. Oh, my God. Half of these movies are older than I am.
Oh, I know. The stop motions are like ancient at that point. They're almost like 60 or 70 years old.
Give or take.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town was 1970.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, it's 2 years old. But again, I mean, it's the songs. One of my favorite parts of Santa Claus is Coming to Town is One Foot in Front of the Other. That has that's literally carried me through my whole life. Just one more step, one foot in front of the other. Just that's all you need to do. Just see the goal and take one more step and one more step. So that has been like literally the foundation for me my whole life. If I could only watch one, and I mean, I could have watched Charlie Brown, I could have watched Grinch, they're all on YouTube now. I watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So that's my go-to part, happy memories, kid growing up kind of movie. I have complete plans on taking the rest of the day to watch all three Black Christmases.
Nice.
They're horrible. I saw the first one, I don't know when, like probably 10, 15 years ago. And Margot Kidder sucks. Just...
She's really Margot Kidder
sucks. She is a very flat, deadpan actress. I honestly don't know how she rose to fame as Lois Lane. I really don't.
She was perfect in that because all they needed was a foil to stand there next to Christopher Reeves in that ridiculous spandex suit and not break into laughter. So the more deadpan she was, the more realistic you could take the whole thing.
Okay, fair. I will grant you that. But the first one was really bad. And then they came out with the second one. And I was like, okay, the first one was bad. I have to watch the second one to see if they improved upon it. And it's got Michelle Trachtenberg, so the whole Buffy type.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm actually looking forward to watching the third take on this. It came out last year. I don't know that I recognize anybody. Oh wait, Carrie Elvis is in it, so there's one name I recognize.
Well,
it's gonna be a bad thing.
Yeah, with the Michelle Trachtenberg one, I was just gonna say, if I have learned anything from The Craft and Disturbing Behavior, it's that any young actress who makes the leap from a teen drama to film and their first film is a horror movie, that movie is not going to be good.
But it's so bad, you have to love it. I mean, okay, you of all people who love bad movies can appreciate it. Have you seen them yet?
No.
What?
Okay, well, they're now on Plex, so I'm giving you a homework assignment.
How the hell have you not seen these? I literally thought you had seen these. It was a fact.
Do you not remember where the intro where I specifically said I'm not big on Christmas movies in general?
But it's a horror movie.
It's not a Christmas movie. It's a horror movie.
And yeah, you're probably not a huge fan of horror movies either.
No, I wasn't even big on horror movies until Becky.
Yeah. You should still watch them. Get the popcorn so you can actually throw it at the screen, because
But also, when you were talking about Kelsey Grammer as Scrooge, I couldn't help but think, yeah, he's like you said, he's not the best choice, but I kind of compare him to Liam Neeson in the A-Team movie, where I just couldn't help but think he's not the best choice. He's the best choice they could get.
Well, somebody with the same last name was behind the scenes, so I think that may have been the in.
Ah.
I noticed somebody else with the Grammer name in the opening credits.
For me looking at it, I completely see the casting for the first half of Scrooge's character arc. The problem is that Kelsey Grammer literally requires the Scrooge treatment. He needs three ghosts to just take him out in the middle of the night and show him that the Republican Party is actually quite vile and he's an asshole. So I can completely see the first half of the casting, but after the night out, he either has to have that epiphany himself and then perform from that truth, or they have to literally replace it with someone else. My vote.
Oh, he's like on crack. He's passing out all the coins, and just the transition isn't. It doesn't feel real.
Exactly.
It's a musical. You should not have Kelsey Grammer involved in a musical at all.
He has a wonderful voice.
Like, yeah,
His performance is
not in this movie.
Sharing the joy of the season and ringing the bells.
Yeah, they should have replaced him either with Norm from Cheers after, or Niles. He just wakes up and it's Niles, and it's like, I've lost, you know, like half my body weight and I've become not a dick.
You know what? I actually could see Niles in that role.
As
it was written, as it was done, I can actually see Niles doing it.
But I think also at that point, like, I've seen enough of Kelsey Grammer's work as Sideshow Bob that I could see a scenario where the producers were like, okay, this guy is a name. He has some degree of musical talent. Let's bring him in. So, like I mentioned, he's not the best choice, but I think he was the best they could do. Yeah. Now,
considering who
oddly enough, Jason Alexander plays Jacob Marley. They probably could have done a better job with Jason Alexander as the Scrooge.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like you can't have Jason Alexander have a character arc in anything. It's not the kind of character he plays. He has to be permanently snide. And I could not see Jason Alexander at the end giving away a turkey without being like, actually give me that back.
Yeah, or I think that with Jason Alexander would probably be so overdone that I'd probably get taken out of it a bit. Because at that scene, I feel like he would be trying too hard.
Kelsey Grammer was trying too hard.
Yeah, but Kelsey Grammer tries too hard at everything.
And what I was actually going to say, and also, just because I'm kind of curious what this would look like if this were done today. I've seen enough of them on The Flash, especially with the musical episode, Jesse L. Martin and John Barrowman.
Ooh, John. I can't see John Barrowman in anything except Bob Cratchit.
Yeah. I mean,
can actually see him as the Ghost of Christmas Past. Because he'd be very grandeur. He'd be hilarious. He'd be a little bit of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I can see him as the Ghost of Christmas Past.
That's fair.
As opposed, I mean, Jane Krakowski instead of Jane Krakowski. She's cute. She was fluffy and all, but I can totally see John Barrowman.
Okay, so John Barrowman is the Ghost of Christmas Past. The guy who played Nardal on Doctor Who. As the Ghost of Christmas Present, but he's just kind of like, yeah, here's some presents. What? You know, like, he doesn't know what Christmas is or anything, and so he's trying to match a character, but he has no, like, yeah, it's just completely uncontextual to him.
And yeah, no,
Ghost of Christmas...
No, I was just gonna say, I could completely and totally see Matt Lucas in that kind of a role.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the Ghost of Christmas Future would be Richard Ayoade being completely stone-faced the entire time. You're dead. See right there. There's your corpse under it, buried 6 feet down there. Would you like to go see your rotting corpse? No. Okay then.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm just sitting here thinking. John Barrowman is Scrooge. Would it work? I don't know.
No.
But I want to see him try it just because I think it would either go very well or it would go beautifully wrong.
No, here's the problem with John Barrowman. He's incapable of not smiling. So there are two instances where John Barrowman played characters that were morally reprehensible in every regard, and it just didn't work. The first, obviously, was when Captain Jack gave all those kids away to the 456.
Yeah.
We were supposed to hate the character from that point on, but you can't because it's John Barrowman. And even when he admits he's done something wrong, you forgive him. The second was in The Producers. He played an SS officer. But because it's John Barrowman, there is no threat to an SS officer. It's impossible to do threatening or grumpy or morally repugnant John Barrowman. And quite frankly, he should stop. Even Merlin wasn't a villain. You're just waiting for him to join Team Arrow. And then he did.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You knew it was going to happen. You knew that he was going to betray the Legion of Doom. Why? Because he's John fucking Barrowman.
Oh yeah, no, he's way more the anti-hero than straight up villain. Like, yeah, I completely agree. Way more. Way, way more.
Yeah. No, he's too gay to be evil.
Oh yeah, no, I mean like I said, it would either really work or go just completely, utterly reprehensible to everyone but me wrong. And there ain't no in-between.
Can't wait.
So I guess with that, now it's my turn. And originally, I was going to do the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special from the mid-80s.
Decent.
But then I thought, I put that on last year's video. I want to do one I haven't covered yet. And then I said to myself, maybe I'll do 2005's Santa's Sleigh, starring Bill Goldberg as a demonic Santa Claus who has to battle an angel in a game of curling for the fate of the planet.
You'll be joining him soon enough.
The clock just struck midnight at the pole. Christmas is officially over for you, Santa.
You know, most people make the same mistake. The correct time at the pole is completely discretionary, because the poles are where all the time zones actually converge.
He's scary yet educational.
And then, the Thursday before we recorded this, which, so that would have been December 10th, I was watching ET Canada's Daily Live Facebook show, and a new contender emerged.
Uh-oh.
Because they showed clips from... Now, you remember those musicals that NBC does every couple years or so that go wrong in every way you can think of?
Like this year's The Grinch?
That oh yeah. That's where I'm going. Because they show clips from The Grinch. And I was sitting there in the lunchroom at work thinking, as I've said before on this show, I gotta know. So last night I watched it. And
which incarnation is this? The 2018 or the 2020?
No, this 2020. Is the live version that they did the other night on network television.
One of a kind, can't be defined. I love being one of a kind. Get used to it.
So it originally... Boo Stewart?
Some dude.
Yep.
I don't know who the fuck that is. And quite frankly, I find all live musical shows on network television to be the cringiest. Like, quite frankly, that shit should have ended when Scrooged made fun of it in the 80s and managed to be a perfect Christmas film at the same time.
Oh yeah, no, like, this was based on the Grinch Broadway musical from around 2006, 2007, but if anyone associated with that original show has any degree of common sense, that is a connection they will not admit to. Now, so this version stars Matthew Morrison from Glee as the Grinch, and... What I will say here is that poor man, he is trying so hard.
It's only got 4 cast credits. What the hell?
Everyone else is Alan Smithy.
Four cast credits. 2 of them are the same character. Because at the... Like, First and foremost, this thing has the decency to tell you exactly what you are in for the second it starts.
Because so, young Max and old Max. Max is the dog.
Yep. I mean, like, first of all, like I said, Matthew Morrison is trying. That poor man is trying so hard. But he has so much, like, all he has to work with is such garbage that there's just nothing he can do here. And the sad thing is, they tried to, amongst other things, they tried to connect this version of the Grinch to 2020. At one point during a sequence in a Who Mall, the Grinch suddenly slips into a Donald Trump impression. Completely out of nowhere. It has no context. It just happens, and then he switches back.
So in other words, they've just sealed the fate for the whole production that's never going to go beyond 2020 because people are going to walk away from this year and go, we are never going back.
Yeah, like why on earth would they immediately shoot themselves in the foot by making it entirely timely and thus irrelevant a week after it had been performed? No, actually, fuck it. It has been 48 hours. It is irrelevant.
At one point, he's doing a musical number about how he's like the only Grinch. He's alone. He's unique. Yada, yada. And at one point during this number, he has the line, I was social distancing before it was cool. Twice. I need you to keep that in mind when I say this.
Well, good, you watched it once for me.
I need you to keep that in mind when I say this, because the only way to start this is to quote Blade Runner when I say, watching this version of the Grinch, I have seen things. Things you people would not believe.
Mr. Grinch,
you're a nasty, wasty scum.
Nasty, wasty scum!
Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk. Mr. Grinch!
Again, no context for this. There's no reason to do this joke. It's just there.
So, what are the infection rates in Whoville?
I don't know. They're kind of packed over there. I mean, they have a lot of kids and stuff, and, right. And they're all happy and huggy. And I'm thinking the infection rate's high.
Right? Did you see how many people show up to that long ass table to eat the roast beast? That is well over 5 to 10.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. And
and then there's that whole scene around the tree where they're holding hands.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm glad you brought that scene up because for some reason, this live action musical, when they do that scene, tries to choreograph it exactly like the original animated version. There are.
I don't feel so bad now about bringing up Black Christmas.
I reject this.
Oh no, make no mistake. I haven't even seen it, but I'm going to say this right now. Compared to this musical, the Michelle Trachtenberg Black Christmas is a goddamn Best Picture Oscar contender.
So my whole day is set now. I'm going to watch all three Black Christmases, and then I'm going to, at some point in time, slip this shit in. How long is it?
An hour and 22 minutes.
IMDb has it listed at 2 hours.
You're going to need a wellness check. I'm very worried about you psychologically right now.
I mean,
how does one find this thing and watch it?
It's on Plex.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to put it on our Google Drive soon because there are people that I am sending this to.
You're horrible.
You have filthy proper use. Come on. That's abuse.
Oh. I mean, this thing has cardboard sets that for some reason are trying to emulate the drawings of the original 60s cartoon. With Matthew Morrison trying his hardest to do the Jim Carrey Grinch. A narrator who is hitting the right lines, but no poetic cadence to them at all?
So they did everything they could and fucked all of it up.
Oh, you want to talk about things that they... This is the... Despite everything I have just said, this is the single one most egregious yet amazing thing that they actually did. They took Cindy Lou Who... Cute, adorable, everybody loves her, Cindy Lou Who.
Hold on.
And made her kind of an asshole.
How do you do that?
When, okay. Now, you know how, I think this element started in the Jim Carrey one. Cindy Lou Who, when we first meet her, like, she has decided that she wants to befriend the Grinch.
Well, yes, because he's so mean and he's so unhappy, and she just has to spread that happiness everywhere, like glitter.
Yeah, like a 4-year-old girl.
Yeah. Oh no, and like they get it right here, and then we come to the part in the story where Cindy Lou Who comes down for a glass of water because she's just woken up in the night, had a nightmare, and encounters the Grinch dressed as Santa Claus, and they do the whole light that won't light on one side thing, and he starts to go to leave, stuff the Christmas tree up the chimney and all that. But Cindy Lou will not let him leave. And they go into a musical number where by the end of this number, she started to win him over. Literally, his heart grew 3 sizes that day. That moment could have happened right then and there. But then The Grinch, in a display of actual kindness, asks her what the nightmare that brought her down to the kitchen was all about. And the fact that she takes that glass of water off of a stove that they've established 2 minutes beforehand is actually hot because the Grinch burns his hand on it, but somehow this water is still cold, but that's a whole other thing. And Cindy Lou Who tells him that the nightmare that she had was about the monster known as the Grinch, and completely trash talks the Grinch to the Grinch, which is what brings him back to evil.
Of course it does.
But he was stealing her shit. Like, I would understand if he was doing a good thing, and, you know, she said all that association, and he was like, fine, I won't do this good thing anymore. He was literally breaking into her house.
Yep.
And in the process of stealing her shit. How is this character? Why would they do this? What is happening?
Well, at this point, she thinks she's talking to Santa Claus, because apparently this child has never seen a picture of Santa Claus in her life. And
who else would you have in your house Christmas Eve, like, with your tree and presents and stuff, but some random fat stranger in a red suit?
Oh no,
we assume.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he's fat and more just kind of like out of shape.
So she completely trash talks him to him. And he gets angry, stuffs the Christmas tree up the chimney, and we move on. And a couple scenes later, where the Whos have discovered that all their presents and the food and the wrap and all the trappings and everything has all been stolen, Cindy Lou Who throws the Grinch under the bus in record time.
Why, my dear Cindy Lou?
He looks like Santa Claus.
Who?
And he must be so lonely. No family, no friends, not a present to open, no presents to send.
Well, my sweetheart, our thanks. You've been very mature.
Till I find him and lose it, and give him what for? Hi-ya!
Why wouldn't she? She's a witness to all of the thefts. Why wouldn't she? I don't understand, like, I completely see, like, there's logic to her decisions. I completely see how it kind of makes her a dick. But, like, this is why you don't attempt to make cartoons 2-hour musicals or 2-hour anything. So you don't flesh this shit out. Because, yeah, you're right. It does make her look or sound like kind of like a bitch. But it's just also the most realistic response of, like, yeah.
Yeah, because children are honest and they don't have they don't have that filter.
Also, if someone stole from you and then stole from literally every neighbor. And you were like, well, I was visited last night by some, you know, some guy that claimed to be Santa Claus. Of course, everyone will be like, okay, well, obviously that's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Turning it into essentially a public prosecution. And I swear, this will end at some point, a couple of decades down the line, with the trial of the Grinch. Someone's going to make that. It's going to be fucking exhausting.
Does he get good time off for attempted good behavior?
It's just him cutting the roast beef, and then the camera pans down and you see an ankle bracelet. It's like and light, red lights. Oh, God. Oh, no. It's forming in my head.
And as much as, like, yes, it makes perfect sense for her to say, like, you know, well, the Grinch was in our house last night, and I saw him doing it. That all makes sense. But the way that everything with Cindy Lou has been executed up to this point, you expect her to go, but he's not so bad. You know, he was lonely. He stole our presents because he has nothing and all, you know, so on and so forth. Like, something to defend him, some 4-year-old's attempt to cast this person that they are magically obsessed with in some kind of a positive light. No.
all I can hear now, because, like, all of these are very familiar kind of things, and it's familiar because it sounds like the backstory of everyone who has ever had a true crime podcast. And so 15 years in the future of Whoville, Cindy Lou is going to be sitting down and doing a podcast on the Grinch. And like, oh, one year he just went missing or something. And it turns out the townsfolk killed him. They were just fucking sick of his shit. They threw him off the mountain. And like, everyone knows where the body is, but no one's talking.
Oh, yeah, no, like I said, the sets, like I said, look like they're made of cardboard. You have the Grinch doing fourth wall breaks completely out of nowhere. It doesn't know if it's a stage production or a live action show. Because there are running gags that are almost Deadpool-esque. Where at one point the Grinch is adulating in the applause of a fake crowd, and they keep doing that. He stops, runs off, and then comes back to do it again. Goes off, comes back, and the narrator's like, "Is he done?" It's like it wants to go meta. It doesn't know how to do it. There are points where there are points where my God, the effects on this thing.
What effects?
Well, no, like I was just gonna say, this thing at points makes the Star Wars Holiday Special with its rickety Millennium Falcon that was clearly thrown together at the last second look good.
I almost hate to say it, but the costuming makes cats look good. Yeah, that's bad.
And accurate.
Ow.
Now, and I mentioned the sequences with the Whos gathered around the tree and how they tried to choreograph it for some strange reason to look like the animated sequence
with four if you count the narrator.
Quite possibly, because some of the Who's in that sequence look General Leia in Rise of Skywalker degrees of two-dimensional.
Ooh.
And not only I noticed toward the end in particular, there are points with especially Cindy Lou where she is clearly in front of a blue screen He can actually see the blue halo around her.
I can't stop looking at the photos on IMDb. Like, seriously, it's like a train wreck. I can't stop looking.
What company produced this again? Was this NBC?
Yep. This was.
What the fuck? Okay.
Thank you for asking, because in the IMDb trivia, there's a quote from Doug Vaughn, the executive vice president, special programs at NBC Entertainment.
Oh no.
That and I quote,
I quit.
Dr. Seuss is an indelible part of all our lives, and we're thrilled to bring a stage production of the Grinch musical to our audience. This is a perfect addition to our annual holiday program traditions, and a telecast the entire family will enjoy. There's no way.
So crash pipe when they wrote that.
Well then. I wish them luck in their future career, wherever the hell it is. Sure as fuck won't be special programming.
Wow, that feels so much better. Just don't make my butt any bigger.
Oh my god. I think it's gonna wrap up our Christmas show, and I would normally pitch stuff right about now, but I am too out of breath to do it.
I just apologize on behalf. I'm sorry for the pain that anyone may endure having seen you describe that and then making the bad, terrible, no good decision to actually follow through and find out what you're talking about. I brought people wholesomeness. You're setting them up for suicide.
Oh no. Make no mistake, like, if you just want to be able to laugh the entirety of your Christmas holiday, or if you want to pull a Carrie Fisher and need to play something that will drive people out of your house at the end of the Christmas party, have I got a production for you?
I'll keep that aspect of it in the back of my mind.
What's Vita. What else have you got going on?
Absolutely SFA. All of my shows were canceled. COVID sucks. I've been working on putting product up on my Square shop, just because I have so much of it. Outofthebroomcloset.ca, there's a link that will take you to the Square shop. I'm as much product as I've been able to put up, I still have like three times more than what you see on there. There's a lot of product, including I finally have masks up on the site.
Yay.
So there's, yeah. But I'm not doing anything. I'm making to keep myself sane.
And make no mistake, folks, these are really nice masks.
Speaking of, did Addie get her package yet?
I was just gonna say, she got hers. I got my new one. And did you change the cut or something? Because that new one fits better than even most of the previous ones. Either that, or I've been accidentally shrinking them in the hot water.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe I extended it a little bit more than I did the first few times.
Oh, probably. Well, I definitely keep with that size, because it's instead of here, it's, I think, goes down to about here, and it's like Yeah, this is comfy. I like this.
Okay, so I will make note of that then. In case I need to be reminded later, remind me I extended it by an inch for you.
Okay. Crash, what about you?
I'm currently building a website for hereyougo.com where we will be putting all of the stuff I produce, including videos that I'm currently working on for us because the audio keeps slipping and I can't stop it. It's great when
You're saying is you've just set yourself up for a large, time exhaustive task.
It must be a day that ends in Y.
Oh, clearly.
So, yeah.
Yay, solopreneurs! We're all insane.
Oh, well, thank God this is our last recording for the year, then.
It's a good thing they're not releasing anything and the theaters are dead now.
Oh, except for Wonder Woman.
It's a good thing they're
not releasing. Is that still coming out this month, or did they push it back again?
It's December 25th.
Yep. It's out Christmas Day.
Yeah. On streaming and theater.
Yep. So with that, Merry whatever it is you celebrate to everyone, and we'll see everybody next year with, alright, I'll be honest, I don't know what the hell we're gonna do, but there'll be some, we'll be back in January with fuck knows what. Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.